Today is Tuesday, June 1st. It was known as Black Wall Street before it was destroyed, how the U.S. is mourning and remembering 100 years later. Also, two bills blocked, one in Congress about the January Capitol riot, the other in Texas about voting laws. We'll explain both. Plus, changes could be coming at the post office. Uber and Lyft admit rides are more expensive right now, and why a big tennis star just quit a major tournament. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in about 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Lacey Evans, filling in for Erica Mandy during her maternity leave. You ready? Let's do this. This week, people around the country are remembering a tragic day in American history. Exactly 100 years ago, the Tulsa Race Massacre happened. A white mob stormed a successful black economic hub in the Greenwood neighborhood of Tulsa, Oklahoma, that was often referred to as Black Wall Street. The mob rioted for 2 days with the help of local police officers. They randomly shot and killed black people and torched 35 blocks of black-owned businesses, churches, homes, a library, a school, and a hospital. In the end, historians say as many as 300 people were killed, although at this point, different records show different numbers. No one was ever charged in their deaths, and Black Wall Street was never rebuilt. Insurance companies denied most of the black victims' claims, so thousands were left homeless. Flash forward to this week, and President Biden issued a proclamation calling for a day of remembrance. He called on Americans to, quote, recommit to the work of rooting out systemic racism across our country. And today, the president will visit Tulsa. He's going to tour the Greenwood Cultural Center and meet with surviving members of the community. A bipartisan investigation into the January 6th Capitol riot won't be happening after all. Remember, a lot of lawmakers, mostly Democrats, wanted an independent commission, similar to what was created to look into the 9/11 terror attacks. But the final vote came up short to make it happen. Ahead of the vote, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell urged his Republican colleagues to vote against it. He argued Democrats would use the commission for political reasons, to keep the riot and the controversy around former President Trump's actions that day top of mind, especially with midterm elections coming up next year. McConnell also said there's no need for the commission since law enforcement and congressional committees are already investigating the riot. In the end, every Democrat, along with six Republicans, voted yes, the commission is necessary. But most Republicans disagreed, and it didn't pass. Some top Democrats aren't giving up, though. They now plan to form a commission with or without Republicans. They say they'll look into the root causes of the attack, any connections between the rioters and members of Congress, and why the government failed to prevent it. Texas Democrats staged a dramatic walkout over the weekend in a last-ditch effort to block a controversial new bill. The bill would have tightened the state's voting laws, and Texas already has some of the most strict voting laws in the country. The new one would have done away with things like drive-through voting, late-night voting, and Sunday morning early voting. It would also add more strict ID requirements for absentee voting. And that's just a few of the many measures included. Republicans say the changes are necessary to make elections more secure in the state. But Democrats say this is all meant to discourage people from voting, especially people of color. Well, the bill came up at the very end of the legislative session in Texas. The House had to pass the bill by the end of the day on Sunday or wait until the next session. And typically, the legislature only meets every 2 years in the state. Well, since Republicans hold the majority in Texas, Democrats there realized if they stayed to vote, they'd probably lose. So they walked out instead. That left the state House without enough members to vote on the bill by law. So now the bill faces an uncertain future. Democrats say it's dead, but the Republican governor in Texas says he's going to order state lawmakers come back for a special session to approve it, and that's likely to happen this summer. Of course, Texas isn't the only big battleground state trying to tighten voting laws after the last presidential election. Georgia and Florida have also passed new voting restrictions, and lawmakers are looking at similar bills in 48 other states. There's now a manhunt underway for three people behind a mass shooting in South Florida. It happened outside a banquet hall in Hialeah, Florida. That's about 30 minutes northwest of Miami, where a rap concert was going on. Police say the shooters pulled up, got out, started shooting randomly into the crowd, then drove off. Two men in their 20s died, and at least 20 other people were hurt. Officers think it was part of a continuing rivalry between two groups. It was also only one in a series of shootings in recent days in the Miami area. Authorities say over 3 days, at least 30 people have been shot in and around the city. China is making an unprecedented change to a long-standing rule. It's now going to let married couples have up to 3 children. You may remember, for decades, China had a policy of only 1 child per family. The idea was it would prevent overpopulation. Well, about 5 years ago, China changed it to 2 children, and now it's 3. So what's changed? Well, last month, new census numbers came out showing China's population growth is slowing, and the existing population is aging so much, the country could have a hard time paying for things like healthcare and retirement if there's not a younger population to support them. Now, the question is whether Chinese families really will have up to 3 children. China is trying to offer incentives for that, too. The Chinese government says it will do things like lower the cost of education and step up housing support. On top of incentives, China says it may also delay retirement ages. Much more news in a moment, but first, your main host, Erica Mandy, is here to talk about this week's sponsor, HelloFresh.
Hey, it's Erica here, and I love the taste and feel of a home-cooked meal. But to be honest, I don't always have the know-how or the time to make it happen. And that's where HelloFresh comes in. I love that my husband and I can come together to enjoy cooking together without needing to think about stressful meal planning or extra grocery trips for that one ingredient I'll barely use again. Instead, HelloFresh sends us everything we need for a delicious, nutritious, and unique meal right to our door. It allows us to get a great dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes. And that convenience is even more important now as we start our family. We just recently made beef bulgogi meatballs with roasted carrots, ginger rice, and sriracha crema. You better believe that I could never make that on my own. And yet it felt like a breeze with HelloFresh. No wonder it's America's number one meal kit. And right now you can get 12 free meals, including free shipping, when you go to HelloFresh.com/newsworthy12 and use that code newsworthy12. Again, go to HelloFresh.com/newsworthy12 and use code newsworthy12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping.
Sending mail may get more expensive soon. The U.S. Postal Service plans to raise prices by nearly 7% across the board later this summer. A first-class stamp would go from 55 cents to 58 cents. Mailing a letter overseas would cost an extra 10 cents. And items businesses tend to mail out, like catalogs and larger envelopes, are set to cost 16 cents more. The Postal Regulatory Commission still has to approve the increases, but if it does sign off, the price hikes will take effect by the end of August. It's all part of a 10-year plan to cut tens of billions of dollars of Postal Service debt. If you've ordered an Uber or Lyft ride recently, you may have noticed something a little different. Longer wait times than usual and higher prices. That's because, as the U.S. starts to open up again, the demand for rides is surging while the companies deal with a driver shortage. This means customers are paying more. A recent analysis found the cost of a ride on Uber or Lyft in April was up 40% from a year ago. And some people report recent rides cost more than even their airline tickets. Both ride-sharing companies have promised to spend more money to recruit new drivers with different incentives. And so far, they say those incentives have helped, but that it'll still take some time for the workforce to match the demand. Starting today, Google Photos will have a limit on how many pictures and videos you can upload for free. Users can now only upload up to 15 gigabytes of new photos and videos. After that, you'll have to pay for extra storage. But to be clear, your existing pictures uploaded before today don't count toward the cap. For more space, customers can subscribe to Google One. Then, an extra 100 gigabytes of space will cost $2 per month. Already, more than 1 billion people use Google Photos to store their pictures and videos online. And Google says more than 28 billion new photos and videos are uploaded every week. One of the top tennis tournaments in the world started over the weekend under a cloud of controversy. 4-time Grand Slam champion Naomi Osaka withdrew from the French Open. She revealed she deals with huge waves of anxiety before speaking to the media. This explanation came after Osaka was fined $15,000 for skipping a news conference after her first round victory. So she quit before the second round and said she'd take a break from all competition for a little while. In tennis, athletes have contracts that say they have to speak to reporters. And it doesn't look like that rule is changing anytime soon. Meanwhile, the world will continue watching two tennis icons who are still in the competition. We're talking about Serena Williams and Roger Federer. They both hold records for the most Grand Slams ever won by their gender. And even though they've both had some time away, they both won their first rounds in this tournament. If you want to watch, you can see the French Open on the Tennis Channel for now, and later rounds, including the championship, will be on NBC. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, when we ask a different trivia question every week. And this week, your main host, Erica Mandy, has prepared a special trivia question for you to celebrate 1,000 episodes of this podcast.
Hey, it's Erica, and yes, I cannot believe that as of tomorrow, we'll have published 1,000 episodes of The Newsworthy. Thank you so much to all of you for listening and trusting us to get your news. Before we get into the trivia questions, I do want to take a quick break to thank our sponsor, Noom. Think about everything you've ever learned about getting healthy. It's a lot of information, right? And a lot of times, it's contradictory. There's the old-fashioned food pyramid or different trends that come and go and have questionable research. Well, ditch the diets that don't work and let Noom help you learn not what to eat, but how you eat in general. Noom is based in psychology and teaches you about cravings and, most importantly, building new habits. Yes, Noom's cognitive behavioral approach means you're not just losing weight, you're building the habits you need to keep it off. In fact, more than 80% of Noomers finish the program and more than 60% have stuck with their goals for at least 1 year. We don't need any more rules in life, right? We want knowledge and an effective but compassionate kind of accountability. There's a science to getting healthier, and it's called Noom. So sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/newsworthy. Again, sign up for your trial at Noom, Noom.com/newsworthy. Noom.com/newsworthy. Okay, so now back to Trivia Tuesday. And in honor of 1,000 episodes of The Newsworthy, we have two trivia questions for you. One, on what date did The Newsworthy publish its very first episode? And two, what letter represents the number 1,000 in Roman numerals? I'll be back next week to share the answers, and once again, thank you all and the amazing team behind the scenes for helping us reach this milestone and being part of the Newsworthy community. For now, be sure to connect with us over on Instagram at NewsworthyPod. You can play along with the trivia and news quizzes in our Instagram stories today, and we'll have a couple special Instagram posts to celebrate this week. So just find and follow us at NewsworthyPod. As for last week's trivia question, I'll now toss it back to our wonderful fill-in host.
Thanks, Erica. Last week's trivia question was, which is the only edible food that never goes bad? The answer is honey. Scientists say honey can last thousands of years without spoiling. There are a few reasons why this could be possible. First, honey contains very little water. That means bacteria that spoils other types of food can't survive long enough to damage the honey. Second, honey is very acidic. An acid will kill any organisms that get too close. The third reason has to do with bees. Scientists say bees help create hydrogen peroxide during the honey-making process, and this chemical also fends off damaging bacteria. All right, thank you for turning to The Newsworthy to get your news each day. As always, we'll be back with more news tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.